so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Lockdown Celtics podcast. This is take two. You don't know that it's take two until I just told you. But in true Rain and Jay's fashion, we can't get this damn thing working unless we do it more than once. I'm John Corrales. I host this Lockdown Celtics podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I've written this book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is a great Father's Day gift for only $30. You get one signed at johncorrales.com. Go check it out. So yeah. This is a special episode because I'm bringing in my boys, Jay King and Jam Packard, and we can't, have we ever...
You worked in the book plug this time. You did not do that in the first take.
Did I not? Okay, great. Then that's why I had
feel
to
like
redo
that's
it.
The only reason you had us do
I
it
had
over
to again. Do it over again because
you're
I
like,
forgot
fuck,
to plug
I
my
forgot
book.
I forgot to shill my book.
Yeah, buy my book at johncorrales.com. $30, signed copy. Father's Day is coming up. You know, dad's a Celtics fan, give him a book.
$30?
It's a signed copy.
That's the
that
steal
increases.
Of the century,
yes,
baby.
Absolutely. I mean, you can get this for like 20 at the store, but for an extra 10, you get me to sign it, personalize it. I ship it out to you.
You put a serial number on it. It can be an NFT.
I could make it an NFT. Sure, absolutely. Why not?
I got my Marcus Smart token right here. This thing's going to shoot up in value.
So, all right. So we're doing this for real now. The podcast takes now for real. So the Celtics. I'll re-ask the question that I was asking before. Celtics beat the Washington Wizards, and I was asked the question after the game, like, how excited, how, you know, where do the Celtics stand? So I posed this question because people like things ranked by number. If zero is rock bottom for the Celtics and 10 is everything is fixed, where do we feel the Celtics are after that win over Washington? Jay King.
They are winners of a play-in game, and that's it.
Your second that's take, it. And you still couldn't give me anything better than that answer.
He asked you for a number.
It's the only answer necessary.
The game,
there is
the
no
game
number
requires
necessary.
Numbers, Jay.
They won a playing game. I'll give you a number. 7. That's their seed in the Eastern Conference. They are probably going to get smacked by the Nets. The most promising thing from the Wizards game, though, was that the defense actually looked pretty good and followed the game plan. And it was the first time all season the Celtics shot less than 40% from the field and won a basketball game. And it happened in a game that actually meant something. So if you're going to talk yourself into the Celtics, it's going to be that the defense has to be much, much better, even though Jaylen Brown is out, and that Jason Tatum can go absolutely nuclear against the Nets defense. Which I guess is possible.
Sure.
I tend to think that the Celtics, like a good outcome from this series for the Celtics would be that Tatum goes toe-to-toe with KD and James Harden and has like an I'm here type of series where he doesn't win but shows like, okay, I may not be on these guys' levels yet, but I'm closer than a lot of you thought before this series. To Kemba Walker continues to score like he has recently. His resurgence has been very impressive of late. And 3, like at least one of the young guys shows a little sign of life. I don't think they're going to win the series or even come too close. But if it's to be considered a successful series, like that's those are the boxes I'd want to check if I'm the Celtics.
Hey, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Sam, we got to sit next to each other last night, which was a nice little treat. I wasn't expecting that when I got there. Are you willing to play the numbers game here?
Yes, I have a number in mind.
You have a number
in mind. I know how to host a podcast, and when you ask a number question, you would like the person to give
a number
in response.
Just give me one number.
My initial response was going to be 5, because that's the kind of cop-out answer. basically what Jay was doing, but I actually put a number to it because the Wizards just weren't good last night. Like, Bradley Beal was okay in the second half. He only scored 9 points. Russell Westbrook was just not good and was not really aggressive. I don't know how much credit the Celtics defense gets for just these long stretches where it didn't feel like they were forcing turnovers or doing like just great stuff to the Wizards. It just felt like the Wizards were bad. And then, I don't know, Tristan Thompson, I think, had a decent second half, but he's going up against a bunch of Wizards bigs. I think Rob Williams being out, and I don't know, him returning to the game felt pretty foolish, and I don't know what's going to happen with his turf toe moving forward. And so
that was so dumb to have him play after halftime.
Yeah, it like I watched him warm up, and he did not move well at all in his like little warm up run. He looked awful, and I was shocked he went back in the game.
I watched him walking, and I was like, "Nah, they probably should not have him out there."
Yeah, that was. I mean, look,
but I respect him for trying.
I was going to say valiant effort for him getting back out there. And like, hey, you know, maybe you give it a go. They tried it. They pulled him pretty quickly. It was like after like not even 90 seconds. And, you know, we'll see what happens. So
I'm cutting you off already. Right back to the Rain and Jay's time.
This is just rolling right back into it. It's like the team chemistry is perfect.
I was just going to say, though, one of my brothers texted me yesterday. He just didn't want the Celtics to get punked. And he thought that they might want to just avoid the Nets altogether and not want to get waxed in a playoff series against Brooklyn. Marcus Smart comes back from two injuries. Robert Williams tries to play with turf toe that he could barely move. And Jason Tatum goes for 50. So they certainly did not get punked, and they showed probably more heart than they have in a long time.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Another number question, because Jay loves these. Scale of 100, okay? 50 being right down the middle. Was this more Boston being good or
where else
Washington
would 50
being
be?
Bad? Well, I want to make sure you're simply, put this as simply as possible so you can get the full understanding, Jay. Is this
math
Celtics being, Celtics being, it's bad. Celtics being good or Wizards being bad?
You haven't assigned the polls. Like, is 100 Celtics good? And
so the 100 is the Celtics being good.
Okay. 65% Celtics being good. Just because of Jason Tatum being good.
65.
Like, he had a phenomenal game, went to the rim, 17 of 17. Like, very much helped that he had smaller guys on him and that the Wizards' bigs are awful. And so it was good to see Tatum kind of go off. But I also think the Wizards were just not that formidable of an opponent, at least in this game. Like, Russell Westbrook was bad and Bradley Beal was like pretty hobbled, just didn't look like he was moving. Bertans was awful for them, and he had to play a lot more minutes because of Hachimura's foul trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to go with like 60%. And the most promising thing was that Jason Tatum, like, he wasn't just hot. Like, he shot 14 of 32. He was manufacturing points.
Yeah.
And he was hunting out the right matchups. And in a playoff setting, like, that's how you have to do it. That's how all the best players do it. And so I thought that was most promising. Like, he was forcing the Wizards to put the guy he wanted on him and then taking advantage of them. And I don't think, obviously, 50 points is sustainable. But, like, the Nets defense has a lot of holes. And there are going to be a lot of guys that he can attack. And a lot of guys that if he is patient – and if he is willing to just go hunt out a guy and draw contact and get into the paint, then he's going to have an enormous series. And so I just thought that the intent with which he played was fantastic. And I think Tristan Thompson said it best after the game. Like, we know he can shoot, but we wanted him to put pressure on the rim over and over. And that's what he did. And that's what they're going to need him to do against Brooklyn to be competitive in the games.
Yeah, Bradley Beal said it after the game too. I highlighted this on last night's podcast where he was like, you know, it didn't matter who was in front of Jason Tatum. And he said, this is something I've been trying to tell his ass for years, which I think highlights exactly how far Tatum has come, how far he needed to come, and still how much more he has to go. Because if his childhood friend is telling him like, yeah, I'm saying like, I've been trying to tell him for a long time, it doesn't matter who's in front of you. but it has apparently mattered who's in front of him, because he does. We've seen him fade away and rely on his jumper a ton and all of that stuff. And to do all of the stuff, like you mentioned in this game, 17 free throws to hunt the matchups and for it not to matter who was in front of him. I don't think there was any single player on the floor, except for maybe Gafford when he was, you know, right at the rim, that impacted Tatum and maybe a couple of possessions of Alex Len, but that impacted Tatum greatly. He just did whatever he wanted. All right, we're going to take
a quick. But who on the Wizards is a plus defender? Like, he just went up against Ish Smith a bunch or hobbled Bradley Beal. Like, I agree that it's good that he did that, but I just don't think there was a very good opponent.
But what do the Nets have? Like, one plus defender on the perimeter?
They have Kevin Durant, who's a much taller man.
Yeah,
he struggles with length. He's a pretty good basketball.
But I'm saying there are going to be a lot of guys on Brooklyn he can target too. And if he has that same mentality, he could score a whole lot of points against Brooklyn.
All right, let's table this. We're going to come back in a second here to talk about that. At first, though, rockauto.com is the place to go for all of your needs when it comes to your car, whether it's complicated, whether it's simple. If you need something like a fuel pump assembly, which they have listed here as a Honda Odyssey fuel pump assembly for $354 at Advance at Rock Auto, it's $217. So there you go. You can save a bunch of money by going to Rock Auto. They're a family business that's been treating customers right for over 20 years. They do not change their prices based on what the market will bear, like an airline ticket. That doesn't make any sense. They will not charge different prices to pros or do-it-yourselfers. That does not make any sense. Just go to their website, enter the information for your car. Don't waste your time going to one of those strip malls, and you will find out whether it's something complicated or something simple like tail lamps or motor oil or wipers. You can get anything you want at rockauto.com. And best of all, the prices are reliably low. So go to rockauto.com right now. Look for what you need for your car. I bet you're going to buy it. And when you do, write Locked On in there, How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. That's the only way they know we sent you. So make sure you write Locked On in there, How Did You Hear About Us box. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. All right, let's continue the conversation with the original crew, the Rain and Jays. And
it's great to be back with you guys.
It's always fun. It's always fun. We're going to do this like, you know, another conversation. One is here. It's like a home and home series. And then we'll hop onto the Anything is Potable feed, and we'll have a separate conversation there. So it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't all interview each other. That's how podcasts work. So we're done with the Wizards game, right? Like, there's really not much. Like, I think my biggest takeaway from the Wizards game, as far as what the Celtics need to do, is like they really do need to make sure that they're moving the ball a lot better than they were. They can't afford a second quarter like they had against Washington. They got away with a really bad second quarter where it took a late run to cut the lead down to two. But they got down as much as 8 against Washington in that second quarter. If they
Ish Smith strikes again.
Right. And if they have...
He's a legend. Celtics murderer.
Celtics killer Ish Smith. You knew it was coming. But if the Celtics do this against Brooklyn, then forget it. That lead goes up to 20 in the second quarter, not 8 against Brooklyn.
So I think the other big takeaway from last night is how Kemba played. Like, he's been a better shooter in like the last, what, 4 games of the regular season, and it's getting close to 30 points a night. Just him knocking down threes is going to be important. Just, you need someone who also scores. It feels like Marcus Smart is hobbled, and like, I just don't know how much you can expect from him on the offensive end. I'm sure he's going to knock down like 7 threes in a game now, but Fournier does some nice things, but he's just not like a volume scorer. But Kemba knocking down multiple threes in a night, doing a Walker wiggle, I think that's good. Like, that's just generally a good sign for the Celtics if they want to have any chances keeping up with the Nets offense.
Yeah, he's averaged close to 30 points for what, his last like 8-9 games.
Yeah.
And that's like so far away from where he was for most of the season. Like, I think he matched or surpassed his season high like four times during that stretch. And like with Tatum, like, there are going to be matchups he can exploit against Brooklyn too. And I think it's going to be a very high-scoring series. I don't think the Celtics have enough firepower at all. But in those two guys, they have two high-powered scorers and two guys who are going to need to be, like, they had, what was it, 78 combined points against Washington. They're not going to have to be that high, but what do they have to average, like, 65 between them? I mean, like, how high does it have to be?
Yeah.
It has to be so high.
Speaking of numbers, yeah, it has to be, but it has to be up there. Like, you need one of those guys to be dropping, like, 30 every single night. And then, okay.
You need both of them at this point to both score 30, I think, with the state of the Celtics offense.
So,
and the state of the Nets offense.
Right, right. So, okay, so Kemba's going, and you're right, he's cooking. He had that shimmy. He had, after that last three-pointer that he hit to just make it officially garbage time, he did like a little hop, and he did like, he was really hooting and hollering out there. So he's feeling it. He's having fun. This is like old school Kemba. Like, he's back to being himself. Which, side note, I hope that people who wrote him off early can like appreciate that it took some patience to get him back to this point. Now, I don't know what that's going to mean for his future, if he just never ever plays a back-to-back ever again, or what. And I'm not saying that the Celtics even will or should keep him in the future. Like, I don't know what's going to happen this offseason. That's an entirely different conversation. But the plan, the patience that it needed to get Kemba Walker back to this point, like, this was necessary. And so they have him kind of getting moving forward. In fact, this is almost like when Gordon Hayward tried to come back that year after he broke his foot, and we kept saying they just need to get him healthy for the playoffs. And it didn't work for Gordon Hayward, but it worked here for Kemba Walker. So that's great. That's a big obvious positive for them. Even if he's not defending well, you try to take advantage of Kyrie, and hopefully those two cancel each other out. You hope Tatum can go out there and cancel one of Durant or James Harden out to some degree. I don't know if it's going to be possible, but close. How do the Celtics cancel out James Harden? And then we also have the issue of like Joe Harris, you know, being a big time scorer. Can Evan Fournier step up and at least be part of that solution?
Hypothetically, he can. Sure, I believe in Evan Fournier.
But his playoff performances have not exactly been great. He's also been part of bad playoff
teams. He's been on the Magic. I mean, it's pretty difficult.
And he's been in a situation where he was up against typically a one seed, and he was the primary focal point of the defense.
Yep.
This is a totally different situation where, even with Jaylen Brown out, he's the very clear third option in the Celtics offense. So I expect him to be more efficient than he has been in the past in the playoffs. And one of those playoff runs, he was injured and banged up and was trying to play through a lot of stuff. So I think he'll be fine offensively. The issue is for the Celtics is that they were thin on wing defense to begin with, and then lost Jaylen Brown, and now they have to deal with a team that has Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. And so there's going to be a lot of stress on Fournier. There's going to be a lot of stress on Aaron Nesmith and Semi Ojeleye and Grant Williams. And I just don't know how you can deal with Brooklyn's superstar trio. Like, it's just it would take a great defense to slow those guys down, and the Celtics are very far away from that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not exactly putting a lot of hope in what the Celtics can bring in, you know. Is anybody having any realistic expectations? If there's any point here where the Celtics can take a game, maybe it's game one. Maybe
Marcus Smart has to take seven charges on Jim Carter.
His charge at halftime?
That was epic. Ambitious, man. That was epic. Wild. I don't know if I've seen a charge taken that was just more audacious than that. To get in front of a guy stepping up for a half court shot like that was, I mean, I don't know if I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clearly the wrong decision.
Oh, yeah. It's an awful choice.
He had so much more to lose than to gain by doing that. But it worked out. And only Marcus Smart would have even tried that. Maybe Grant Williams would have tried it, but Grant Williams definitely would have committed a foul.
Oh, yeah. But Grant Williams would have screwed that up. But that's yeah, that was a purely Marcus Smart play. And we can go around individually. You know what really sucks is that I think – Robert Williams could have been a difference maker, not in the sense that he could have swung the series, but he would have made things a lot more difficult for the one weakness that Brooklyn has with its bigs. It's, you know, they would have had a trouble guarding Robert Williams. And if he can't get back to, and he won't, let's be clear. He has turf toe that he aggravated in this game. It's not going to get better by Saturday. This is the Thursday show. You know, he's not going to be better by Saturday. Can he be good enough? Can they do something with that toe to make it feel good enough where he can be some semblance of himself? Like, having him fully healthy would have at least made, I could have at least made the point like, hey, the Celtics might make the Nets sweat a little bit here with the pressure that he could put on the rim. And if you have to account for him, then that opens up some guys on the outside. Maybe the Celtics can get hot and steal a game or two. But without Robert Williams, I just don't. They just don't have that dynamic. And you put Tristan Thompson in his place, and you lose the one obvious advantage that you have.
Remember when Tristan Thompson guarded Kevin Durant as the primary defender in a game earlier this season?
What did the Celtics lose that game by? 40?
Many.
It was like the first game of the season, right?
Yeah, they really had Tristan just match up against Kevin Durant. That's where the Celtics were at the beginning of the season with their double big lineup.
Did they sign Tristan Thompson thinking that that was in his bag? Like,
I don't think so.
No, I hope
we're
going to
get
a
great perimeter defender.
Let's before I take the next break here, the Nets are favored by 7.5 points
in game one.
In game one, where are you laying your money down? Taking the 7.5. The Celtics?
I'm taking the points. The Celtics are great. And Celtics don't play better than when they're down 20. And so I think they can make some classic run, get it to within 5 and with about 4 minutes to play, and then just lose by 6 or 7. So I'm taking the Celtics. It's more fun that way.
Brooklyn's going to win by more than 7.5. I am very curious to see what happens with Brooklyn in the playoffs, because – these guys, their three guys, have hardly ever played together. And their offense has been incredible anyway. It's been unstoppable regardless. But I just think, like, there is some potential there for, in a really tough playoff series, for things to go a little sideways. For James Harden to be like, you know what? Kyrie just took a shot that he shouldn't have. He took three shots that he shouldn't have. And I'm pissed off. And I'm sour. And I'm not going to play defense. I just feel like there's room. Like, they're a little vulnerable to something like that. I don't think the Celtics are good enough to push them to that point. But I wonder if they're strong enough and will be together enough, like, in those moments that when you're really, really tested in the playoffs, like every team gets, like, will those guys play good basketball? Or will they ISO? And if they ISO, they still could be good enough. But but I just think, like, there's a little room for them to be wobbly.
The best thing to happen for the Nets would be to go 7 with the Celtics in the first round. Take some punches, kind of like the 2008 Celtics against the Hawks. Just, like, really make the team focus in, like, oh, we got to grind in the playoffs. And that's I'm not at all just wanting to see a 7-game series with the Celtics. That's not where that idea comes from at all.
All right, let me take a break here, and we'll get back to that discussion in just a second. That 7.5-point spread was on betonline.ag, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. So if you are optimistic like Jam or pessimistic like Jay, maybe more realistic like Jay, get on over to betonline.ag. Check out the latest news, odds, info on everything that's going on around sports there. Baseball, NHL, UFC, MMA, sports from around the world, if you want to bet on that. Even non-sports events, there's ways to bet on that on BetOnline. So head on over on your laptop or mobile device. Do not sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever you deposit in there, put $100 in, you'll get a $50 welcome bonus. That's how the 50% welcome bonus works. With the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, please gamble responsibly. You are not gambling when you get a Built Bar. You know exactly what you're getting when you pick up a Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar around. They have 9 delicious core flavors that are, you know, include things like salted caramel and cherry and coconut almond. So different variations for whatever your tastes are. If you're allergic to nuts, there are options for you there. And generally, you're going to get something like 17 grams of protein, about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs. It's a great nutritional profile for a protein bar that you can throw into your pocket, you can throw into your gym bag, you can have it after you work out, you can have it as a snack or a meal replacement, however you want to do it, it's a great option. Head on over to BuiltBar.com. You can see all of their limited edition flavors because they drop new ones every once in a while. You can see all of their other great products as well. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your next order. The promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So I think there's a consensus here that the Celtics do not have any sort of real opportunity to upset the Brooklyn Nets. But let's bring the boys back on in for our final segment. And do you guys think, Jam, I'll start with you. Do you think that there's any possibility, like how many games do you think the Celtics will win, if any, in this series?
One. I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I think the Celtics get game 4. I think it's full capacity at that point. They get the gentleman's sweep just because the Nets are, going to take a little bit of a foot off the gas after winning the first 3 games. So I think realistically, the Celtics get 1.
There will be one Marcus Smart game where he hits a bunch of threes and he takes a number of charges and it's a weird game and the Celtics win. That's the
it.
Only game they're going to get, I think.
See, okay. I mean, I can see that. There's just certainly no way. I feel like the Celtics can come in right away in game 1, and that might be the Marcus Smart game. I agree that it could be a Marcus Smart type of thing. I feel like there's still going to be a feeling out process and that Brooklyn might be like, whatever, it's Boston and some guys have some juice to play against Boston, but they'll just be like, that's the play-in. We're good. And they might get a little loose and the Celtics can steal that first game. Maybe Brooklyn doesn't, they go cold a little bit. I mean, it's going to be a lot to ask for those 3 guys to go cold, but you know, maybe it happens enough and maybe Tatum's rolling and maybe Kemba's feeling it, whatever. So I think we can have like this Celtics take a lead and it's 1-0 Boston and people start losing their minds. And I thought that the Celtics were going to win. I thought they were going to beat Washington pretty easily. And because when things are they always have the opposite reaction to whatever the situation is. Like, they went into that game where everybody was just like, they suck, forget it, the season is over. And once everybody feels that way, the Celtics turn something on. And then I think they get to go up 1-0 on Brooklyn, and then everybody's gonna be like, oh no, the Celtics, we're finally seeing the Celtics, they're all coming back. And then the whole thing just goes down the tubes, and they end up losing 4 straight games. So I think that would be, maybe they can steal another one. Maybe they can make it a 6-game series, but I have no real belief that they can take this series. But I agree with Jay, the point that you were making before. Brooklyn's run to what could be a title, they're certainly title contenders, is going to be so fascinating because we don't know what those 3 guys are going to act like on the biggest stage. We know they all want that biggest stage. But what's going to happen there? And is James Harden going to revert to some of that, you know, the bad James Harden playoff stuff? How's that going to interact with these guys? This could either go like perfectly for them, or there could be like a real big misstep somewhere along the way.
Yeah, no, I think they haven't really been challenged yet. And like they've just, and I think they fit a lot better basketball wise, those three guys, than everybody gave them credit for. Like Harden's just a ridiculous passer. And obviously that part of his game hasn't gotten enough credit, but he is an extremely gifted playmaker. And when he focuses on that, and when he has so many options around him, like he can really, really guide an offense. Like, to me, he's their toughest player to defend, like as a full defense, because KD will give anyone buckets.
Seems pretty tough to defend that guy.
Yeah, but Harden will just pick you apart. And when you're debating whether Kevin Durant is the toughest to stop on a team, like you know they're pretty good damn team. Good. Yeah. But so I think they fit a lot better than most people gave them credit for. But I still think like they haven't been challenged yet. And it's totally different when you're in a playoff series and there's so much on the line, and then you get challenged, and you haven't done it before with that group, and maybe they'll be fine.
It
maybe.
Doesn't matter at all. Hello,
against the Celtics.
His name is Kevin Durant. You know who he is. Like he was the best player in two consecutive finals. Like he's like the second best player in the league when healthy. You have him on your team. He's just shown success in the playoffs. And you have James Harden and you have Kyrie Irving. I don't know if it really matters. Like, I just think they're going to continue scoring. Like, who, when the playoffs slow down and you like need half court basketball, who do you want on your team to get a bucket more than Kevin Durant and James Harden? I just think they're going to, I think it's just a cakewalk for them in the East. I think they just go all the way.
I mean, it could be like
they're certainly my clear favorite.
That
Brad Stevens agrees with me. Brad Stevens said after the game, he doesn't imagine them losing.
Yeah, well, I mean,
yeah, that was a funny line.
It's certainly like the possibility of them getting to the NBA. Like, there's a high probability of them getting to the NBA Finals and winning. But there is also they haven't been healthy all year, and so does something like that pop up? Does that hamstring kind of flare up for Harden? Does that and that might not even matter either. They seem to navigate that pretty well. I thought like a lot of people have made something of that moment where Kyrie was like, you know what? Harden's our point guard. I'm just going to be the shooting guard. That was like, I don't know if a turning point, but that was a flashpoint in their season where it was very obvious that those guys were settling into roles and that Kyrie understood that his best role on that team was to, be an ISO scorer and kind of work off the ball, and that Harden's passing is going to be the best use of Harden, because that just sets up everything else. But I still wonder, when the spotlight hits, when it's an ABC game, is it one of those guys going to do something that ruffles the other guys, and does that create enough of a fissure to derail them? And I'll wrap it up with this. When you're looking for something like this in a team, they're pretty damn good, because you're just grasping for kind of reasons that they might fall apart. Like, there's one of those guys can score 0 points and they'll still be pretty good. And we haven't even talked about guys like Joe Harris, who just spot up and is, you know, he's the second best 3-point shooter right now in the league. Like, that's what this team has. They don't have to stop you. They only have to stop you for like a 4-minute stretch at any point in the game. If they can put 4 minutes of defense together, they stop you. They build a lead that they're never going to give up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Final thoughts? Anybody? No? Let's go do this again on the Anything Is Potable feed.
We're going to pick every single game in the playoffs.
Yes. All right. Okay. We got to crack some beers and stuff. All right. Thanks to Sam Packard. Thanks to Jay King. And thanks to you for checking out the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Hope you're watching on YouTube, trying to get this YouTube channel off the ground. So far, so good. Things are going fairly well in the early going. But, you know, it would appreciate it if you shared the podcast and told your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.